It's Northeast Delta Dental Radio with Tom Raffio.
Welcome to Northeast Delta Dental Radio. I'm Tom Raffio for Northeast Delta Dental Radio, and I'm also the head coach of the dental insurance company known as Northeast Delta Dental. Well, it's hard to believe it's already April 14th and 15th, depending on when you're listening to this. So I hope everybody has their taxes ready to roll, if you haven't done that already. And of course, it's the Boston Marathon on Monday. A couple weeks ago, we had the SEA 5K road race, and I know some of my running friends that are doing the Boston Marathon use that as kind of a warm-up sprint. So that's the second race in the Capital Era race series. 3 weeks before that, it was the Gilmington road race, which is probably going to be your slowest 5K of the year because the last mile is straight up in the air. So this show has been awesome in terms of getting the word out on compelling initiatives. And with me this weekend is David Morgan, who's the president and CEO of Future Insight. David, thank you for joining me this weekend, 14th and 15th. I know you're really busy with a lot of things.
Great to be here. Thanks so much, Tom.
So it's been about a year since you rebranded and changed your name from the New Hampshire Association for the Blind. So I want to get into that. But I think I know one of the comments I always get from the listening audience is they love to know the background of people. So I know you have an extremely interesting background. So why don't you talk about your history and how you made your way up to the New Hampshire Association for the Blind, now, of course, Future Insight.
Sure. Well, again, thanks for having me. First, I'll say I grew up here in New Hampshire. I spent the first 10 years of my childhood here. I skated and played hockey at White's Park.
Nice.
Lived on Rumford Street,
so
right around the corner.
Did you do black ice this year?
I didn't do black ice, and I don't skate as often anymore. But
get
I was
you back
on
out there.
Championship squared hockey team. So
nice.
Those were good years for me.
Very cool.
I was educated here in New Hampshire, graduated from Nashua High School, got my undergrad at Daniel Webster College when it was around, and my MBA at UNH. Excited to be back in the state after spending about 10 years at Perkins School for the Blind, working in technology, manufacturing, rehabilitation, and of course there were 200 children on campus there who are blind and visually impaired getting a range of specialized services, but was fortunate enough, frankly, to spend 20 years in business, manufacturing, and technology. And I think that gave me an appreciation about how to run a business, but also how difficult it is to build a nonprofit that's sustainable and innovative and continues to grow to reach out, in this case, to more than 32,000 folks in New Hampshire that live with profound sight loss.
And that's incredible, and we'll get into that. There was a Business Before Hours a couple weeks ago, and David and his team were awesome, and it's just amazing. We'll get into that. So I know I'm going to get this question. So how does a business CEO, business leader, then get into Perkins? The Perkins to the Future Insight makes some sense, but how do we go from like being a leading business person into Perkins?
Well, I give the then president of Perkins School for the Blind, Stephen Rothstein, a lot of credit for that. I was actually the president of a Dutch semiconductor company located in Londonderry, New Hampshire at the time, and was keeping my eyes open for a new opportunity. I was in a doctoral program around organizational leadership and innovation and running this for-profit, and got a call from a recruiter and said, listen, we have a very unusual opportunity to build sustainable income for a nonprofit at a school where Helen Keller went over 100 years ago. Please talk to us. And literally on the campus of Perkins School for the Blind is a small manufacturing operation that builds Perkins Brailers. And Perkins Brailers are known around the world. They literally ship to 175 countries to help children and obviously teachers who train those kids to produce Braille on a mechanical Braille writer that looks a lot like a typewriter. And that's literally how I got into this field.
So that's the ultimate vertical integration there, I guess.
It totally is. Totally
oh, my
is.
God. Well, and the fact that it's great that you're back into the New Hampshire community. Of course, one of the things that we're working with Stay Work Play and also the 65-25 initiative is to get people to come back to New Hampshire. So it's awesome that you're
it's great to be here.
You're leading the Future Insight.
It has been 2.5 years now.
I know. It's awesome. I mean, it seems like yesterday, when George retired, and it's 2.5 years. That's really awesome. Again, you mentioned all the thousands of people you serve, but why don't you go over the range of services and
sure.
and what we mean by visually impaired?
First, I'll start with vision impairment. Quite literally, anyone who struggles with their sight loss beyond corrective lenses are folks we serve. And the reason I say that is because we don't want it to be about an eyesight diagnosis and more to do about the world that that individual, infant and toddler with their family, school-aged child, adult, or senior, or a full-service organization, how that individual struggles with their sight loss and how we can both help them cope with that loss, but then help them rebuild their skills, their confidence and self-esteem to live and thrive. And let me explain by live and thrive. Most often we're helping children in their schools and adults and seniors in their home, but that those first rounds of services, those 5, 6, 8 hours that we help someone in their home, are really to give them those core skills that allow them to function successfully. More and more what we're discovering in our research, we're doing deep dive ethnographic research to help understand those emerging and unmet needs, particularly of a senior population that frankly is going to double here in New Hampshire in the next 10 to 15 years, to understand those needs so we can help break them out of their home and into their communities to actively participate, build new skills. It could be accessible sewing. It could be learning how to kayak. We're working with kids that were learning how to rock climb the other day. And this afternoon, frankly, there's about 18 to 20 adults learning how to, taking pottery lessons, learning how to work with clay. And more what we're discovering is, like all of us, we want activities that make us feel great about ourselves and help us engage community and build new social relationships. And
how many teammates do you have at your organization, and where are you located?
We're located right around the corner here from Binney in Concord, New Hampshire, 25 Walker Street. We have about 35 folks on our staff, and we're growing considerably. Just to give your audience an idea, two and a half years ago, we served around 1,100 folks throughout New Hampshire. This year, we will serve nearly 4,000 folks.
Wow.
And that's irrespective of any individual's ability to pay. So like many nonprofits, we're challenged to find those folks who have a need and then to raise funds to support that need. But we've been able to do that, on a small $3 million budget and serve nearly 4,000 folks.
Wow, it's terrific. And I met a lot of those great colleagues of yours at the Business Before Hours, and very, very, very compelling people. So you were trained as a business person, and so you kind of just referenced it, you know, no money, no missions. So... you know, it's compelling, and there are many other, compelling organizations, you know, out there, you know, food insecurity, homelessness, everything is so important. So where is the, I always get this question, so how can, if I'm listening to this and want to help, how do I help financially, and where does your major sources of funds come from?
Sure. There are a range of sources, obviously through fundraising. More and more we're looking at services that not only provide great service to individuals, but allow us to raise revenue around that. So for instance, when we support seniors with occupational therapy, if they're over 65, we get Medicare Part B support. Or if we're serving children in a school, right, those school systems support those kids. But since we do provide thousands of seniors without that who are low income, we do a lot of events, fundraising activities, including our Walk for Sight on June 3rd.
June 3rd, and we'll get after the commercial break, we'll really get into that because I want to get a great turnout for that on Sunday, June 3rd.
And most importantly, no matter who you are, no matter what the service is, you start with a social worker. So when you call Future Insight, you're not just getting a receptionist. You're referred immediately to a social worker who visits you in your home or refers you to a teacher. And that holistic range of care is unusual in this state in that we serve both case manager and we provide teachers and rehabilitation therapists and occupational therapists that really, again, help you live and thrive with that sight loss.
Do you find that people, when you're getting the word out, are people, some people reluctant to call because they're just scared, or maybe you're a veteran and you're used,
sure,
to help, you're used to helping other people, so now you have to kind of reach out, so you have to kind of break that paradigm that, you know, that you're there to help? So I'm assuming...
We absolutely do. I think there are a range of challenges. Certainly a challenge a year ago before our name change was, unfortunately, a stigma that came with the word blind. So far too often, a senior might get a diagnosis and the word blind comes up in that diagnosis and they're in denial, so they don't seek services. The doctor helping them is disappointed and might be in denial that they can no longer be of assistance, and those folks would not receive services. And what we have found with the inclusive, dynamic new name of Future in Sight is more and more folks are openly, willingly, and in a strange way, excited about making that new connection with someone that can truly help them.
So that rebranding to me is so important because it helps with that sort of quote unquote stigma.
Yes.
Number one, and plus it gets you into the fact that you are into in an innovation mode. So when all is said and done, and you look back at when you were brainstorming the new name, it must put a smile on your face that it's come to fruition and it's really helped sustain the organization as well as kind of, you know, break the paradigm on the stigma.
Yeah, it's helped in so many ways. And just for anyone out there that's listening who may be blind themselves, we've maintained all of our amazing core services for anyone who is blind. But what it has done is, frankly, make us more accessible. This is a low-incident population, right? So there are, you know, 1,300,000 residents in New Hampshire and about 32,000 struggle with this. And unfortunately, many of them are in rural areas. And finding a way to connect with them in any way we can, family and friends, ophthalmologists, social services, it's difficult to find tens of thousands of folks that may be living alone or in rural areas. In part, I think this rebranding effort has helped us in that outreach, certainly help us in fundraising, and frankly, reinvigorate the mission, because we're a 107-year-old startup.
Yeah, I like that. Yeah, and your talk was really remarkable at the Business Before Hours. So the website is futureinsight, all one word, .org. Welcome back to Northeast Delta Dental Radio. Tom Raffio with David Morgan, who's the president and CEO of Future in Sight. And before we get back into David's topic, again, big shout out to all my running friends who have been participating in the Capital Area Race Series. And so we've had two races, the Gilmington race and the SCEA race. And if you're listening to this on the 14th, on the next day, April 15th, there's a race at the Seacoast Science Center for the Seacoast Science Center. And that's always a great run. It's partially on roads, partially on sand, and partially on the trail. But let's get back to David. So the website is futureinsight, all one word, .org. They're located, Future Insight is at 25 Walker Street, and the phone number is 224-4039. Now, we all know, we all have the statistics that, like lots of parts of the country, we have an aging population in New Hampshire, as well as, obviously, Maine and Vermont and other states, but let's just talking about New Hampshire. So has that increased the need for the services of Future in Sight?
It certainly increased the need. It's twofold. One is identifying those that are already out there. You know, when you're only serving 1,100 a few years ago of 30,000, then market penetration, the ability to find and serve those folks is a big challenge. But throw on top of that the shifting demographics in all of northern New England that really tell us that in the next 10 to 15 years, that 32,000 will likely be closer to 45 or 50,000. And so even though we're serving more than we ever before, obviously we're serving less than 10% of the need over the next 5 to 10 years.
And the need will continue to grow. So with the new rebranding, and I know I saw some remarkably innovative things, you know, at your Walker Street location. I'm assuming that maybe perhaps you've become a role model for other similar organizations across the country. Tell us about that.
Thanks, Tom. We certainly would like to think we are. I'm also on the board of Vision Serve Alliance that represents 125 organizations just like us. And I can tell you, we are particularly innovative in our approaches, and I think we'll be innovating the field with the nature of the work we do. And working with school-age kids, we're teeing up ethnographic research. What's ethnographic research? That's really the ability to work and observe parents, teachers, and children in a school environment that helps us tease out those emerging and unmet needs of our school-age kids. More and more emerging technology is the great equalizer. There are products now built on a Google Glass platform, for instance, that can see what the person cannot see. So very soon, you'll be able to wear glasses, take an Uber ride to your grocery store, and grocery shop completely independent.
Wow.
So imagine that. All of a sudden, you're blind. You can't see the world. But with a remote assistant and technology and a little bit of training, you can take on the world all by yourself.
Wow. You just, every time I meet with you, I'm learning stuff. And of course, you, I know you do this with a great team, you know, Marsha Clark and everybody, and you also have a great board, and Tim Murray.
We have a terrific board.
He's one of my good friends from Hopkinton. He made a point to let me know that he couldn't make the business before hours because he had another board meeting, but I know.
We are fortunate too. Nate Abbott, our board chair, is a graduate of Leadership Concord, and we just had the Leadership Concord team in for a tour a few weeks ago.
Nice.
And when I say tour, and you experience this yourself, we do a tour of our mission, not a tour of our building. So
why don't you explain that? Because I think
it's
more than a subtle distinction.
It is. On the first and third Wednesday of each month, we invite 10 to 20 folks in to experience the stories of the clients we serve or the parents of the children we serve. And so literally you would go through the building and stop at almost like bus stops. I would share the vision of our future, and then clients would share their stories about life before they discovered Future Insight and what that transition has been for them and how they're living today with a range of new skills that they've learned and the self-confidence that they've built.
And one of the people that gave us the Living Mission Tour was Randy, who my running friends know. We see him on road races, and usually he passes.
Randy's amazing.
Yeah, yes. He is amazing. So on the longer runs, let's say like a half marathon, it takes him about, 5 miles to pass me, and then I never see him again. So he's pretty amazing.
And if we had Randy here, you know what he would talk about? He would talk about his experience of being a client of Future Insight and how being a client transformed his life and created the opportunity where he could be an Emmy Award-winning author and producer. He's written a book. He's, I think, climbed each of the peaks over 4,000. He's a past blind marathon champion. And he's someone that gets up every day and really takes on the world, in large part because of his perseverance, but also the range of skills that social workers and rehabilitation therapists help him build.
Exactly. Now, Nancy is your vice president for program services, and she and I chatted at the Business Before Hours, and so I know that one of her main roles is to make sure that you have the appropriate team to handle. So how's she doing on that front?
Nancy's remarkable. Yeah. It's always amazing when you have a team of folks that say yes to new ideas, that aren't afraid to take small risks and to take them frequently to really innovate new services, to hire new staff, to generate new revenue that serve the mission. And Nancy's been with us for over a decade and does an amazing job. She's been getting more and more in the work we do with educating children. And to give you a sense of that impact, we serve nearly three times the number of children in New Hampshire.
Wow.
As 2 years ago.
And I know that when my work with the State Board of Education, I was aware of that. I didn't realize that it increased that much. So Natalie and Jean Martin and Marsha, we couldn't let this show pass if we didn't, put a play in for the upcoming event, the Walk for Sight.
Lucinda, our development director, is organizing all of that, and we have an amazing team. Last year, nearly 500 folks from around Concord, and frankly, the entire state, were in our Walk for Sight, and many of them wore blindfolds to simulate the experience of being blind and walk that 3K walk around historic Concord.
So Lucinda will be proud of us if we say, how can I register? Can I just show up? Is there a registration fee? Do I get a team together and raise funds? How does that all work?
I think she'd certainly encourage you to build a team, because the wonderful thing about a team is you can reach out to family and friends and those that live locally to you to build a team and do a little bit of fundraising to support the mission. Anyone is certainly welcome to show up the morning of the event on June 2nd. I think the gates open at 9 and folks can start registering. I think the walk begins around 10 a.m. And those 500 folks last year raised $100,000.
Wow, that's great for a walk.
It's a huge event for us, and it really does transform lives across all of New Hampshire for those who are blind and visually impaired.
So if I want to help out and volunteer, I would call Lucinda at 224-4367. 1-800-878. If I want to make a donation, I can go on the website, futureinsight.org, correct?
You absolutely can, and Lucinda can help you on that as well.
Awesome. And if I wanted to, this is another question I sometimes get. Like, sometimes we have a guest on like yourself that is, like, really motivating. And so, you know, I really didn't know, you know, much about, you know, Future Insight, but I want to volunteer. Obviously, you need to be trained. But if I wanted to volunteer in some capacity, could I call Lucinda, not just for the walk, but just in general?
Yes, absolutely. And honestly, Nancy and her team as a volunteer coordinator. Transportation is always in great need throughout the state because we serve residents everywhere in New Hampshire. Volunteers for the walk here in Concord, very often volunteers that provide support in the home beyond our staff support. So someone may want us to help with the chores around the house or reading a book. I would say more than 80% of the needs are really getting to things like doctor's appointments.
So transportation.
Is grocery shopping. Key. Doctor's awesome. Appointments, yes.
Okay, so if you kind of look back at both your experience at Perkins and now here for almost 3 years in Future Insight, like, has anything surprised you? Obviously, you were the CEO of a company supplying Perkins, and maybe you didn't have, I mean, you knew the importance of the work, but has anything really surprised you in this field?
A few things. One is the need never ends. Right. So we're so pleased that we can serve nearly 4,000 folks this year. But again, that need continues to grow. The need to find qualified teachers, qualified occupational therapists. There aren't a lot of programs around the country developing those folks. And frankly, imagine your son or daughter. The Department of Ed and Vocational Rehabilitation in the state do an amazing job. But imagine if I said to you for your sighted child, listen, I know your child is struggling with reading. And we're going to get around to helping them for about an hour a week. They might need 4 or 5 hours, but that's not what came out of the process. An hour came out. So I'm convinced, and we're doing the research to support this, that our kids with vision loss have profound needs that are not being addressed in our state. And those kids likely need 3, 4, 5 hours a week of specialized support, and they're getting a lot less than that. So there's a lot of work to do.
We've got to get that. Definitely have to get that word out. So thank you for doing that. So we have the upcoming, in the first weekend in June, we have the walk event. Do you have other fundraising events?
In the fall, we have Dinners in the Dark, which are exciting events. One happens up in Giuseppe's, and one up in Meredith, and the other on the seacoast at Rudy's in Portsmouth. And lots of exciting events for school-age kids and seniors, activities that we also fundraise for.
Awesome. And if you want to get involved with the walk or the dinners, the number is 224-4378. Now, you mentioned the mission tours, and again, we're at 25 Walker Street. What are the times of those that people could drop by?
8:30 to 9:30, first and third Wednesday of each month, and coffee at 8:15, and you're out at 9:30 promptly.
And I rest assured, David is very punctual. That was the best business before hours I've been to in my whole long career of going to events like that. So awesome work. Thank you for your leadership, and I'm so glad that the new branding is working out. And